All right, here we go.
So, when you see the Kentucky Derby, what besides the horses and the colors and the everything else, what's the real focus of everyone at the Kentucky Derby?
Betting.
Winning money. Now, the winning horse was actually my horse. We had a little betting pool in our house, and everyone threw in $2, and you could pick two horses. No, you picked three horses, so all six of us, and there were two scratches at the end, so it ended up being 18 horses. And my horse came in first, and my horse went off at 8-1 odds, while the favorite went off at 4-1 odds. Does anyone know what odds are?
Yeah, whatever you pay. You pay $1.
Believe it or not, odds are chances of winning. And with horse racing, I believe it's based on a combination of looking at the records of the horse and then people putting money on it. But odds are really, they do tell you how much you're going to be paid. But what odds really are is the chances of the horse winning. 4-1 odds is four chances of losing, one chance of winning. So that horse is called the what?
The favorite.
The favorite. As opposed to 8-1, 12-1, 20-1. What's the word used when something's like a 20-1 or a 41 or a 100-1?
Long shot.
That means out of a that means, and if it's odds as opposed to, there's two different ways to look at it. Odds really says 101 means 101 races. 100 times you're going to lose, one time you'll win.
Wait, what's it called?
Odds.
No, what's it
long shot.
Oh, a long shot. You never heard the phrase a long shot? Yeah,
long shot.
Okay. Quiet. So we are actually starting a whole section where we're going to look at things called permutations, combinations, probability, a little something called binomial theorem if we get to it. And what we're really looking at is kind of a different way. And really what it is real world math. Any of you ever watched the poker on ESPN?
Yes.
Okay. You know how they'll have the two guys betting, they'll be down, they're looking at the river card, and they're now showing you every time a new card up, the changing in the percentage. Percentage is chance of winning. That's based on what cards are on the table, what cards have to come out to win. You have, you have one card out of 100, you've got a 1% chance of winning. I mean, we know, okay, deck is 52. Let's go back to that. But let's say you're down to 45 cards, and you need a king as opposed to needing a club. Which one is more likely to come out, a king or a club?
A
club. So you'll notice the person who maybe needs the flush will have a better set, a better chance of winning, as opposed to the person that needs, let's say, the second king. Max?
Is this sort of how, like, card counting works? Like, they use probabilities?
Yeah. If you want to read a really good book, it's called They Broke the House, I think.
Yeah,
it's about the guys at MIT.
Yeah.
Great. Bringing Down the House. Bringing Down the House. Great book. I don't know. But the book, Bringing Down the House?
No.
Bringing Down the House is about gambling and these kids from MIT that were really bright, not Queen Latifah, going in and living with Steve Martin. But that's an interesting. Okay, so if you want a good movie, now our calculators will help you do, is that what you guys are doing right now, looking at probability? It's called combinations, permutations. We're going to go through all that. We're going to just start today, though, with a basic problem. Let's say I came in and said, guess what, guys? We're going to Great Adventure!
Yay!
Yeah. And I took you all to Great Adventure. But the problem is, it's something happened, and most of the rides are gone, and there are only three rides you could go on. The Ferris wheel, the giant one in the middle that when you walk in, I don't know if it's still there. It was there a long time ago. I love that Ferris wheel. One roller coaster that is still open. All the rest are closed. It's very odd. Or one of those water rides where you go down and it spins around and you get all wet. So there are three possible rides. How many different orders could you ride them?
Six.
Six different orders. How did you decide there were six different orders?
Well, like, let's say the Ferris wheel. And if that's going to go first, then there's a possible two combinations where that can go first. And there are three different things. That could possibly go first, so three times two is six.
Oh, okay. Let me do it by what's called a tree diagram, and then I'm going to, because you started talking about that, and then you went down to the multiplication. Perfect. You can start with the Ferris wheel, the water ride, and the roller coaster. You can start with any of those three. But after each of those, how many choices will you have?
Two.
You'll have two. You'll have less choices. After the Ferris wheel, you only have the water ride or the roller coaster to choose from. After the water ride, you only have the Ferris wheel and the roller coaster. And after the roller coaster, you only have the Ferris wheel and the water or the water ride. Now, after you do, let's say you do Ferris wheel, water ride, how many choices do you have?
One.
And what is that choice?
Roller coaster.
How about if you do Ferris wheel, roller coaster?
Water ride.
And so here we are, water ride, Ferris wheel, roller coaster, Ferris wheel, Ferris wheel,
water
ride, thank you,
Ferris wheel.
So now, how many, now let's say, now, what if order didn't matter? What if order didn't matter? How many ways would you ride all three rides? It would just be one way, because if order doesn't matter, whether you do Ferris wheel, water ride, you're riding all three rides, all three of them. There's just only one way, if order doesn't matter. Question, Alex?
Well, can you just swing that by doing
three jumps? I'm going to get there. Oh, I'm getting there. I'm getting to something that leads to that, but I want to talk about logic. Some people need to see tree diagrams. Tree diagrams will get you used to the concept. All right, so notice what. Notice I'm not repeating any rides. Repeating rides throws things, changes things completely. Okay, there are six paths, three to choose from, then two, then one. And this is what Bennett was alluding to. He said, you have three choices at first. Then you have two choices. Then you have one choice. And three times two times one gives you six. Let's say we threw, what else is a great adventure? Let's say we threw a food stop into it. Not only, I gave you a chance to eat. So how many choices can you start with? You have four choices, and then three, and then two, and then one. 24. This is called three rides picking, three rides picking, this is actually three at a time. Three rides picking three at a time. I got to change that. Okay. First thing you have to walk away with is understanding something called the fundamental principle of counting. And the fundamental principle of counting is a general way to find what's called a permutation, or a general idea. If there are m sub 1 ways to do a first task, m sub 2 ways to do a second, m sub 3 ways to do a third, and that's what we're talking about, like going on rides, picking the way, the order with which you could do it, then the total possible patterns or ways you could do all the tasks is n sub 1 times n sub 2 times n sub 3. Notice I put blanks. You're going to see me do a lot of blanks, okay? The fundamental principle of counting. The big thing to do is put a big star next to this and write, order matters. Order matters. You don't use the fundamental principle of counting when order doesn't matter. Lottery. If you win the lottery, does it matter the order that the balls were actually pulled?
Yeah.
Well, depending on
which. You can still win money without it, but yeah. You can win money if you have all the right numbers.
Well, but look at it. Look at it just at the white balls of the Powerball or the Mega Millions, as opposed to the extra one, the red one or whatever color it is. If they pull out 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, does the person who has 6, 4, 3, 2, 5 still win?
No.
They actually
it does.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, think about it. The balls come out of the tube. They just kind of line them up, and they always list them in order. So the order you pick a Powerball. Order doesn't matter. Now, there is a little extra thing where, oh, but there's that last ball. But that last ball comes out of a different bin. So theoretically, you're looking at two separate tasks. So fundamental principle of counting doesn't always work with lottery completely. You have to kind of combine some ideas. Okay. So let's look at just some basic different types of ideas that we're going to use this fundamental principle of counting on. How many three-digit numbers can be formed if repetition is allowed? Now, what that means is I'm going to have a three-digit number, and it is a great habit to get into of making three blanks. Okay? That represents the ways you can pick each digit. And repetition is allowed means you can have the number 333. You can have all the digits. Now, how many digits are there?
Ten digits.
But
only nine.
Now, why can you only have nine choices for the first one?
Zero.
If it's a three-digit number, you can't start with zero. So if you look at all the numbers, or all the digits, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. How many, you can choose out of those digits, nine digits for the first digit. How about for the second one?
Ten.
Ten. How about for the third one?
Ten.
Because you can end in a zero.
You can put in any digit you want.
Oh, using those numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Three-digit numbers. Okay, so how many numbers, what does that make?
900.
900. Okay, now guys, think about this. Tell me the first three-digit number. 100 is the first three-digit number. What is the last three-digit number?
999.
Now, 999. Now, some people will say, oh, that's 899 numbers. But no, when you subtract it, remember, 100 is the first. 101 is the second. 102 is the third. So 999 is actually going to be the 900. Okay? Let's try another one. This is going to be weird at first, but once you get used to it, it's actually kind of fun. How about how many three-digit numbers can be formed if repetitions are not allowed? You can't have 333 anymore.
Could now you what? 322.
Nope, no repetition. Repetition means not even any, nothing can be the same.
Now,
let's start off, let's start with the first digit. How many do you have to choose from?
Nine.
Now.
Can it go to nine? Isn't it still nine, the second one?
The second one will be nine, because think about it. Pick a digit that it might be for the first digit, theoretically. Could be the one. Okay. But how many do you have left? Because you can't repeat the one now. You're adding the zero back in, but the one isn't a choice anymore, so now you're down to nine.
Then it's eight.
And then you're down to eight. 81 times 8, 648. And you're going to be allowed to use your calculators.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be so nice of you. Yep.
For the first one, would you do 100 minus 999?
I was just talking to you. Go ahead, and then I'll talk about that.
I don't know.
I was just showing you that there are 900 digits. If you think of 100 as the first digit, first three-digit number, and 999 is the last three-digit number, there actually are 900 of them. I was just showing it to you in a different way. Okay, how about how many four-letter quote words can be made if duplication of letters is allowed? Okay, a problem like this means you're taking the alphabet. Little quiz, how many digits, how many letters are there in the alphabet? 26. Now, we're not talking Funkin' Wagnall Webster words, okay? PQTR counts as a word, okay? We're not saying, that's why it's in quotes. That means four-letter arrangements of letters. I know, but the thing is, because some people will be like, yeah, but if it's a Q, a U has to go right after it. No, not in this. Okay? So a four, it would be. But it is hard. But, so let's look at this. How many digits can you choose for the beginning?
26.
How about the next?
26.
How about the next?
26.
How about the next?
26.
Oh.
Why do you choose
400.
Okay, because, okay, how many letters are in the alphabet? Yes. You have to look at the pool of what you're allowed to choose from. How about this? There are 18 people in this class. We are going to go play kickball against another class. We're looking at our kicking orders. First person, how many people can we choose for our thing?
18.
Yeah. Batting order. But how many do you have to choose from? No, I just said we had 18 people in the class. Okay. So when you're looking at that, those numbers to go in the blanks, you're looking at you're looking at the choice, the field of choices. So if we're talking about digits, we're talking about 0 to 9. If we're talking about words with the word letters in it, that means the alphabet. Does anyone read a different language that uses a different alphabet? You read Hebrew? How many digits, how many letters are there in the Hebrew alphabet? So, okay, so it was a Hebrew alphabet, it might be, you might not use 26, 26, 26, 26, depending on, you know, you have to look at what your field of choices are. Okay. What does that come, quiet, what does that come out to be?
Oh, it was 900.
456. It is, these should all be whole numbers.
No, it sounds like a phone number.
Oh, a phone number, yes.
Yes,
okay, Max? Topic? That's exactly what they did. When I was growing up in Delaware, there was one area code, 302. That was it. In New Jersey, when I first moved here, there were three area codes. The proliferation of cell phones, faxes, you know, all those different multiple lines and houses, that's why they've added, they just add area codes. And you can do also, that's what, I mean, that's what we're going to do. We're going to do phone number problems. We're going to do lottery problems. We're going to do card problems.
What?
Theoretically, but at some point some of those are going to turn back over and not be used again. That's why when you get a phone number, sometimes they'll try to give you one that actually no one uses anymore. Okay, how about four-letter words if duplication of letters is not allowed?
26,
let's say you use a P, that's out. Now you only have 25 to choose from. Then you only have 24. Then you only have 23. And that multiplies out to B. What is the difference in problem number three that's written up here and problem number four? Right.
I know, but I'm saying for the one above that, like the number one and two.
What does this say?
Oh, the first two were nine, but now.
Because they're digits. How many digits are there? Right. But you can't start with a zero, right? If it's a three-digit number, you can't start with a zero, so we had really only nine to choose from. And then we could go back to all 10, because anything zero to nine is okay.
Okay.
But this was a digit problem. This is a letter problem. What if I asked you how many different ways you could arrange the letters in your name? Then you're like, okay, EY or Y? Just Y, right? Yeah, so six letters. So it would be 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Max would be 3, 2, 1. And if you have a letter that overlaps, like you have, Yamini has a couple of A's, then it actually reduces the possibilities. Okay, how about, how many three-letter words can be formed if the first letter must be Q, but the second letter does not have to be U? That's what, again, I keep putting words in little quotations.
So you start with one.
And it says no repetition.
So
1.5, 24.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can, the only number I can start with is a Q. One. Now no repetition means, now I can't even use the Q. I've only got 25 times 24, and that is 600. How would you know 25 times 24 equals 600 without your calculator? So 25 times 24 means you lose a 25. Good. How many three-letter words can be formed with the middle letter M if repetition is allowed? Now let me show you another trick to do this.
26.
Yeah, you don't even have to write the 1 in the middle. You can write the M in the middle to keep yourself from putting anything in there. 26 times 26.
576?
676. Oh, of course. 600. Oh, no, we're throwing out the game of poker card here. Why is this question not germane right now?
Because
it suits.
Because the order doesn't matter.
The order you get the cards doesn't matter. It matters for odds. Yeah, but that's something slightly different. The chances of winning, yeah, order matters as they go through, and they do momentary odds. But in terms of how many possible hands they are, an ace, two, three, four, five is the same as a two, three, four, five ace, as long as the suits match. Okay, now, we're going to learn some new notation here. The first one is a little exclamation point, and that is called the factorial symbol. And it does not mean five, okay?
Zara taught me how to do that on her calculator because I was always leaving her notes in the alphabet.
Okay, oh, okay, yes. So, now there are two ways to do it. If you have a scientific notation calculator, it's probably on the screen. If it's not, if you have a PRB button on your calculator, press it, and at the top you should find the... You see it?
Yeah.
Okay. If you have a graphing calculator... very good. Guys, listen, graphing calculator, press the math button. Math.
Oh my gosh.
Toggle over to the right where it says probability. And you see number 4?
Wow.
Okay, I want you all to find 5 right now for me. 5 factorial. Find 5 factorial for me.
Do you have to do that every single time you want to find it?
Yes.
Hey, look at that. 5 times.
Yeah, you know how you get it. So when you do it, so it's automatically.
Okay, James, say that again out loud so everyone can hear you.
The exclamation thing automatically gives you the sequence for the non-repetition allowed thing.
Yes. Now, whenever repetition is allowed, you want to use fundamental theorem of counting, this first thing. Whenever repetition is allowed. When repetition is not allowed, you can still use fundamental theorem of counting. But you can also use this thing called a factorial. A factorial stands for a number times one less, times one less, times one less, till you get to 1. Why do you think factorial has been designed to stop at 1? Yeah. So what would a negative factorial be?
Negative 4. No, other way.
Try negative 3 factorial, see what we get.
Yeah, I have a question. But that wouldn't work for the digit thing.
I got negative 6.
Right, because that's a slightly different problem. If you're looking at a basic no repetition, you got what? Negative 3 factorial is giving you negative 6?
Yeah, negative 3 times negative 2 times negative 4.
Negative 6.
No, I got no answer.
Okay, you guys, I hate to tell you this, you're not supposed to be able to do a negative 3 factorial.
Because then one makes it 0?
No, negative 3, no, it would never stop. It would go down to negative infinity.
Oh, you have to put it in parentheses.
Oh, that's the opposite of 3 factorial. Put negative 3 in parentheses factorial. Oh, I was like, what the heck is going on? Right, because the negative in front... Yeah, if you put negative 3 factorial, it's doing the 3 factorial first and then taking the opposite. Oh, I was so creeped out. Okay, because by definition, what is 1 less than negative 3? And 1 less than that? And 1 less than that? And guess what? We're never going to stop. How about 0.7 factorial? No, let's do 1.8 factorial. 1.8 times
0.8,
see what happens.
You don't get it.
Error.
Guess what else has to be true about n? Can't use decimals, whole numbers. N sometimes represents natural numbers. Natural numbers are ones you can see in the world. Now, there are a couple, so 3 factorial by definition is 3 times 2 times 1. We already know that's 6. 5 factorial, you guys already found, was 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1, which is 120. One definition, 0 factorial is 0, is 1. Sorry, 0 factorial is 1. If you do it on your calculator, you'll get 1. I know it doesn't make sense, but it is defined that way. Because we're going to see factorials all over the place.
I did the factorial of 2.5.
It is defined that way.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I did the factorial of 2.5, and I got an answer, though.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be, no. Okay.
Because 1 point, like, 8 didn't work.
No, I know what you're saying, but is... Yeah, I don't know what's going on. The definition of a factorial. I'll check on
all
it.
Right.
Okay, permutations. Now, this is kind of what we're doing here. A permutation of n elements taken r at a time is an ordered arrangement without repetition of r of the n elements, and it's called NPR. And write this down, and then we will translate into English. Write it down. I'm going to call it NPR like a station all the time. I love it. National Public Radio. No, they've got good stuff on it. They've got great game shows.
In the morning.
Wait, don't tell me. Oh, great game show. It's called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. It's very funny. Call it Poundstone.
Am I really telling you?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. The main of ancients, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yeah.
Okay, Avi, do you have a question? And is it a what if? Okay, you can't ask it. All right. Ready? Listen. A permutation of n elements taken r at a time, such as 26 letters, 4 at a time. Okay? N stands for the whole batch. R stands for the sub-batch. Now, this ride was 3 rides, 3 at a time, because we're going to ride all 3. Ordered arrangement means? Order matters. Without repetition means? We can't repeat. It's going to probably have the factorial in it. It is called NPR, and the formula for it is n factorial over r, n minus r factorial. Now, the one thing I'll tell you is you don't have to use this symbol. You can use the fundamental theorem of counting. But remember the one where we had the 4-letter words? No repetition, right?
Yeah.
So how big is our whole sample set? How many is our...
26.
26 letters. So I've got 26 letters, but I'm only taking 4 at a time. So that's 26P4. Now, do you remember what it came out to be with the fundamental theorem of counting?
24.
Well, it started with 26, 25, 24... 23. Remember that's how it came out? Right. But you remember that these were the 4 numbers I multiplied out?
Yeah.
Okay, watch this. The top. What goes in the top? 20. Look at the formula. 26.
26.
Yeah, just watch this. 26 factorial. What goes in the bottom?
25 factorial.
Well, 26 minus 4. 22 factorial. Now think about this. The top starts at 26 and goes down to what?
1.
The bottom starts at 22 and goes down to 1. You'll be canceling 22 down to 1, and you'll be left with
358.
Just those 4. Now, question, guys, find for me really quickly the biggest number you can take the factorial of, or the smallest number you cannot take the factorial of. Experiment. What's the biggest number you can take factorial of?
The smallest is like 0.001.
No. Find the smallest. No, smallest whole number that the calculator won't find it. No.
The biggest is less than 100.
It's less than 100. Someone already figured out overflow error. What did you try? Find the biggest number you can take the factorial of. Eric's already found that 20 that 100 doesn't work. 99 doesn't work. How about we jump?
It's less than 80.
69 is the biggest number you can take a factorial of. Any number bigger, 70 or above, you're going to have to find another way to solve the problem. But we'll talk about stuff like that. I want you to try, don't worry about using this tonight. I want you to try the assignment using fundamental theorem of counting. Just use fundamental theorem of counting. Because you're going to find you're going to probably get every answer, no problem. Then we're going to come back and talk about applying NPR to it. NPR is less applicable than fundamental theorem of counting.
This is due Monday.
Friday's the worksheet.